Now, we get a view of the child of the woman here. And in verses 5 and 6, why the child of the woman is introduced to us. And I'm reading from my translation. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to shepherd or to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. We've seen that now in Psalm 2, 9. And her child was caught up unto God and his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. This world is a wilderness. Israel was scattered throughout the world. Where she hath a place prepared of God, and there they may nourish her 1,260 days. And during the intense part of the great tribulation period, why, Israel will be protected of God. That is this remnant of Israel. And I would like to say this. There are those that say so dogmatically today that Israel will go to the rock-hewn city of Petra, and there's where Israel will be preserved because no enemy can get in. But the enemy now comes from the top and drops down bombs. And that's the last place I would want to be when bombs start falling, is in that rock-hewn city of Petra. Very candidly, to make that dogmatic statement today, along with clear-cut prophecies, is certainly deceiving people. If you want to say that, and I don't mind saying it, I don't know where the place will be, and I personally feel like it could be this place, but let's say we don't know. And it won't hurt a lot of us preachers today to say we don't know when we don't know. I read a book on Antichrist the other day, and this fella, it took him about 125 pages to say what I can say in one sentence. But he wrote 125 pages. I don't know who is Antichrist. And he didn't either, my friend. He didn't either. Today, to be so dogmatic about that which is not revealed is, to my judgment, tragic. Now, I don't think that we ought to say dogmatically. If you want to say it, I don't object to it, provided you say, that's my judgment, I think that it'll be. But you don't have scripture for that, you know, except speculative scripture. Now, will you notice, we are told here that the child, I think, is Christ. I think by now that's quite evident. And he's easily identified here. And I hope that no one will fall into the error of equating the child with the church. And many have done that, by the way. Now, he's the shepherd to rule all the nations with the rod of iron is a clear-cut reference to Christ. We quoted Psalm 2:9, he shall break them with a rod of iron. Again, that was quoted by the early church, and it was quoted as referring to the day that began with the persecution of the church. But he's going to finally come to power. Now, I do want us to notice something that is very important here. We see him as the one who is to shepherd or rule the nations with a rod of iron. He is the one that is coming in David's line to sit on David's throne and to rule this world. And he will put down all enmity, all opposition, all rebellion on the earth. How? Well, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, if you have a better way, if this peace crowd would only come up with a program that would work, then it wouldn't be necessary to put down rebellion with a bit of violence, by the way. There's no other way to put it down. How do you think Jesus Christ is going to come to power in a rebellious world? Suppose he suddenly appeared at the capital of any nation in the world. Do you think they're prepared to surrender to him and turn it over to him? And that includes our own country. Is America today prepared to yield to Jesus Christ? And if you say yes, I'll have to say then, why don't they? They can yield to him today. Well, the world's in rebellion against him. And the only way that God knows of taking it over is to put down that rebellion. Now, maybe you are some of the peace crowd, if you belong to it, and you don't like the shedding of blood. It makes you sick, nauseates you, and you just hate violence and war, and don't we all? But the interesting thing is, this is the only way that you can put it down. And he's going to rule. That's the important thing here. Now, her child was caught up under God in his throne. Now, that speaks of the ascension of Christ. He ascended into heaven. Witnesses saw him caught up into heaven. And today, we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, remember that this book is the unveiling of the ascended Christ. And the book of the Revelation rests upon the fact of the ascension. Christ is the one who has opened the seals of the book that has led to all that has followed since then. And we're told that she brought forth a man-child. And I think that settles the identity of the woman. Israel is clearly the one from whom Christ came. Who are Israelites? Whom is concerning the flesh? Christ came. Now, in the Gospels, you have the emphasis upon the death of Christ. In the epistles, you have the emphasis upon the resurrection of Christ. In the book of Revelation, you have the emphasis upon the ascension of Christ. And I would say that Protestantism, and especially fundamentalism, has ignored the ascension of Christ. That's one reason that we have not had such a great emphasis in fundamental circles upon the present ministry of Christ. And it's the reason we've emphasized it so these past 5 years in this program. And we need to recognize that. Let me turn to one or two passages of Scripture. Acts 1, 9 and 11. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now, that is a reference to the ascension of Christ. And remember that this book is the unveiling of the ascended Christ, the glorified Christ, the coming Christ, the Christ who's coming in glory. And the book of Revelation rests upon the fact of the ascension. And he's the one that's been opening the seals, that's brought to pass everything since then, and certainly this particular section. And we are told today in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Where? The one who walked in Galilee? No. We know him no longer after the flesh, Paul says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you think that means he's twiddling in his thumbs, and that's the impression a great many have, why, it's because you don't know Revelation. You and I need to study Revelation, because he's not sitting and doing nothing. He's going to do a great deal because of his ascension into heaven, and he has a present ministry today with the church, of course. Now, will you notice, it says she brought forth a man-child. And I think that settles the identity of the woman. Israel is clearly the one from whom Christ came. The church came from him. But he, according to the flesh, came from Israel. And that, again, let me say, in Romans 9, 4 and 5, Paul first says, who are Israelites? And he puts down several fingerprints, and one of them is, whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. So that is what we have here. And we're told in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law. What law? The Mosaic law. Who had the Mosaic law? Israel. He came made or born under the law. Why? Because he was an Israelite. To redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And again in Galatians, this time the 3rd chapter, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So God said to Abraham, before the nation came into existence, I'm going to make you a great nation, and through that nation I'm sending a seed. Not many now, but one, and that one is Christ, Paul says. And we've already seen in Isaiah the 9th chapter, verse 6, and unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Us there, U.S., doesn't mean the United States. Some seem to think so. But unto us is Israel. Isaiah was an Israelite. He's speaking to that nation. He just wasn't speaking either to the church or to the Gentiles. He was speaking to Israel. And us means the nation Israel.